James chapter 3 was our scripture lesson. If you will keep that in mind, or you could even open to that if you want, even though I'm not going to be pulling verses back out of there. Some good verses there to keep in front of you while we talk. When I was a child, and we would go to our kids' club or our junior church or whatever it was that we were going to, we used to sing this song. And it went, "Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do." Do you remember the song? "Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say." Anybody remember that song? Sang that when you were kids? Okay, all right. And, of course, the chorus went like this. For what? For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little mouth, what you say. See what our kids are missing. Maybe they learn. Do you kids learn that? You guys know that song? Okay, all right. Do you want to stand up and sing it for us? Or you're comfortable? Okay. But anyway, so that was just, you know, that's how we learned. And the Father is watching. But the song didn't say too much about how or why or what. It just said, be careful. Be careful what you say. I suppose that we have all learned at one time or another in our lives how difficult it is to tame the tongue. What Keith read for us said that it's like a fire. It's like a spark. Controlling what you say might be the most difficult thing you have to do as a person. Because in an instant, something can come out, and whether you meant for it to come out or not, it's entirely too late to get it back. I don't know if I share, I probably have told this story here before, but when I was in the fourth grade, my teacher had a daughter who was also in our class in the fourth grade. Her name was Kim. I went to a really small school, so there weren't a whole lot of kids in my class, so I would have said Kim was my friend, got along well with her mom, or my teacher. My mom was a teacher, and they knew each other, obviously. But Kim, one day, came to school in a dress that I think this event made such an impression on me, I think I still remember what the dress looked like. And one of my other friends, a guy friend of mine, for whatever reason, whatever possessed him, said, "Kim, that dress makes you look fat." She was a fourth grader. And I had nothing against Kim. I wouldn't have even thought of it, perhaps, had he not said it. But being a child in the fourth grade and wanting to be logical and assess the situation, I decided to assess as to whether or not his statement was correct. And it sort of seemed like maybe it was. And so I said, "Yeah, it does." And I didn't mean anything bad by it, but come to find out, that's just not something you say. Especially to a girl whose mother is your teacher. And that was just a bad experience for me. And that's why I remember, I'm pretty sure the dress was black and it had some pink in it, and I think it was polka dotted. And I remember because that it just completely rocked my world because it did not end well for me. Of course, her mom was upset, and then we had to apologize to her and that whole mess. But I'll tell you what, I learned a lesson that day, not just about what you say to someone about what they're wearing, but about the mouth. Buddy, once it comes out, it's not going back in. Be careful what you say. We've been talking the last few weeks about imitating Jesus, about being Christian, and about how in everything that we do, we want to be more than human. I said a few minutes ago that perhaps as a human being, the most difficult thing you will ever have to do is control your mouth and what you say. But remember that we're talking about being more than human. It's not just you who's in control. It's about how does God control you, even in these things that are difficult to handle. And I think probably in no other area of life do we hear the excuse more of, "Well, I'm only human," than in what we say. How many times have you heard someone say, maybe I shouldn't have said that, but, and then they go on to justify why they said what they said? I'm only human. Sometimes stuff just comes out. Well, I've got good news for you this morning. We are talking about not only these difficult situations we deal with, but we're talking about how God can help us remedy the problem. Remember, we started this whole series off by talking about that God has called us to be holy, to be perfect, to be like Him, and that includes what comes out of our mouths. Your speech can get you in trouble in a whole lot of ways, can't it? Gossiping, lying, slandering other people, being angry with people, cursing, being crude. The language that you use is a challenge to tame. In fact, again, as Keith read for us, the Bible says we've tamed all sorts of animals. Okay? I don't know if there's an animal that man hasn't tamed or tried to tame or done a fairly good job of taming. But nobody can seem to get a grip on this slippery little item that is our mouth. No one can seem to tame it, to bring it into control. And so our scripture lesson told us the tongue gets you in all kinds of trouble. All kinds of trouble. Is anyone willing to admit here this morning by raising your hand that what you have said has at some point in your life gotten you into trouble? Okay? No husband should have their hand down. Just go right ahead. Okay. And to be fair, neither should the wives. But you know what I'm saying. It happens. And probably for most of you, it's happened sometime recently. Where you said something. And I'm not saying you were mean to someone, but maybe you said something and it wasn't true, or it was harsh, or it was harsher than you wanted it to be, or maybe you were gossiping or something, but what we say gets us into trouble frequently. And while it may seem impossible to tame our speech, since we have been given that which is superhuman, it's not impossible. It's not. It's not impossible. In fact, today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is the celebrating of the coming of the Holy Spirit that was sent from heaven. Sent after Jesus returned, he said, I'm going to send the Comforter, that my Spirit will come. And so the Pentecost Sunday represents when the Spirit of God came. Jesus is no longer on the earth. He has gone back to be with the Father. But the Spirit came and He fills the disciples, and He's been filling people ever since. And He's been empowering them to do things that are superhuman. And so the Holy Spirit comes and He empowers you to control your tongue even when you can't control your tongue. So what then does the Bible say about how we speak? I just would like to highlight a few verses, and then we're going to talk about some practical application. First of all, the Bible says in James chapter 1, if you want to look there you can, but we're going to hit a few verses here. James chapter 1 verse 19 says that, brothers, you should be slow to what? Speak. Be quick to listen, but be slow to speak. Some of us struggle with that, being slow to speak. Being slow to speak means that you stop before you talk. Isn't that what your mother taught you? Think before you speak. Being slow to speak means that you are thinking about what is coming out of your mouth. By the way, that verse then goes on to say also, be slow to anger. I don't think that's happenstance. I think those things are connected. Isn't it often what we say that gets us angry or gets someone else angry and starts this problem between people? Again, in relationships, we've been talking a little bit about marriage and anniversaries this morning, but how many times in relationships is something escalated? How many times are there more problems than there need to be? Because of what comes out of our mouth in an instant. Be slow to speak. Be slow to anger. Then James has a lot to say about this subject. I don't know if he knew someone who had trouble controlling their mouth, or maybe if he did. But in James 1, 3, and 4, he talks about this. In James 4, he says, do not speak against one another. In other words, don't gossip. Don't say mean things. Don't use someone else as the object of your degrading language. And of course, the implication is if you shouldn't be saying things against someone else, you also shouldn't be listening to them. Sometimes as Christians, we feel like we're halfway righteous if we don't gossip, if we just sit there while someone else gossips. But it's the same thing. Have no part with evil. Then James chapter 4 says, do not speak against one another. I'm sorry, that was what we just said. Titus chapter 3 says the same thing in different words. It says in verse 2, malign no one. In other words, that term means don't vilify anybody. Don't put other people down just to make yourself look good. Isn't that often how we use our speech? You know, kids and teens deal with this on a regular basis. School is so much about who's got what and who's popular and who's not and that sort of thing. So many times hateful things are said in order to make one person look bad so someone else will look good. But you know it doesn't stop when you graduate from high school. Adults do the same thing. If you can make someone else look poor, then you will look good. And so often our speech is used in that regard. But Titus says, malign no one, vilify nobody. Don't use your speech to make others look bad. This is one I don't often preach about politics, but this is one of my big problems with the current political structure. So it doesn't matter what political party you're in. It also doesn't seem to matter what background you come from. For the most part, in order to be a good political figure, you've got to make all the other ones look bad. Now, the only political race that I've ever been a part of, I was unopposed. So I didn't have to deal with any of that when I ran for the school board. When I ran for student council in school, I was unopposed. When I ran for lots of offices, I was unopposed. And what I've come to find out is if you're running unopposed, that means no one else wants the job, and there's probably a good reason for it. But in politics, you see that a lot. As much negative as it is positive. And you know why? Because politicians have figured something out. Human beings like to hear dirt about other people, and they like to not like other people based on what they've heard. And so if they can run their opponent down to you, then maybe you'll vote for them. But we don't really have time to fix the political system today, so we'll move on. So a question, if the Bible says don't speak bad about others, don't malign others, you know, be careful with your tongue, you know, it can cause all kinds of problems, what, if the Bible is so clear about this, why do we have so much trouble with it? I mean, shouldn't it be just one of the basic things about being Christian is that you speak nice and you don't say mean things about people and you don't lie and you don't gossip and you don't use the Lord's name in vain and you don't say things that are dirty or crude or whatever because that doesn't reflect well on Christ who is pure and wholesome. Why do we have so much trouble with it? It seems pretty clear cut to me. It's even right there in the Ten Commandments, you know, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Why do we have so much trouble with it? Why is it so easy to talk about others? Well, I've already said, you know, it makes you look good when someone else looks bad, and it sort of makes you feel good to think that maybe you have things together a little better than somebody else, so that makes it easy to gossip about people. We like to think that we're in the know, that maybe we know something about someone. Okay? I would defy anybody to come up with a phrase that will catch more people's attention than something like this. Did you hear about so-and-so? It matters not what will follow that phrase. It could be something as simple as they got a new car, but you will catch more people's attention right off the bat by saying, did you hear about so-and-so? Why? Because we like to hear about so-and-so. We do. Another question. What, and I think this is one that a lot of people struggle with, what makes gossip gossip? You know, when does a prayer request become gossip? You ever been in a situation like that? Oh, I need to share a prayer request with you. And 20 minutes later, you know all the dirt on everybody in town. You met people like that? Okay? So what makes gossip gossip? Because legitimately, as Christians, we do have concerns about each other, right? So sometimes we might need to go to someone and say, you know, I'm really concerned about a brother or a sister, or, you know, I might be concerned about the pastor, or I might be concerned about... When does gossip become gossip? When at the workplace is talking about your work environment gossip, and when is it legitimate? Okay? I think this is something we struggle with as Christians, to know where is that line. Well, here's one rule of thumb. If whatever you are saying is not something you would want whoever you're talking about to hear, then it's probably gossip. Now, there's a fine line there also, because sometimes we may say things in some terminology to our coworkers, or maybe to our spouse or someone, that we would never say it that way to the person's face, because we want to be careful not to offend. But that I'm talking more about if you know you're saying something that you would never want the other person to even know you were thinking about. Things like criticizing what they wear or what they look like or how they behave. You would never in a million years want them to know. The only reason that you're sharing it, and this is a second rule of thumb, you only have two thumbs, so you can only have two rules of thumb. But the second rule of thumb is, not only would you not want them to hear it, but if you know when you're saying it that you would hope no one would ever say this about you, because it would hurt you, it would offend you. Pretty good chance that it's gossip. What do you do then? When you find yourself in that position where you are saying things or listening to things that are not Christian, that the mouth is getting out of control. Well, it sounds pretty simple, but the first thing you can do is just stop. Okay? I'm a nosy person. I'm just going to come right out and say it. I'm a nosy person. Someone says to me, you know, something's going on, or, you know, I probably shouldn't tell you this. I'll work on them until they say it. And usually it's not even gossip, it's just something that, you know, well, maybe we should, you know, and I like to know. Now, I have to be careful, because I can always use my position as the pastor to say, well, I need to know. It might be a grave matter of spiritual maturity. You've got to tell. But even there, we have to be careful, because we would like to put a spiritual blanket over a lot of stuff that's not spiritual. Okay? So what do? The first thing we can do is, and this is a very powerful witness, is just to stop. Or someone else is saying something, saying, you know what, I don't really care. Oh, you don't have to be, I don't want to hear this, and get up and stomp off those gossips in there. All you have to do is say, I don't care. And that's true. As a Christian, you don't really care about gossip. You don't care. You know? I know that our kids struggle with this at school, because rumors and talking about other people is just par for the course in school, and we all go through it. But what a powerful thing, just to be able to say, you know what, I don't care. I don't care if someone else looks goofy. I don't care if someone else did something embarrassing. I don't care if it has no bearing on me. So if you find yourself in that position, you can stop and just say, I don't care. After you've stopped, offer a quick prayer. God knows that you don't want to be like that, so ask for his help. Consider your motivation. If you find yourself in the middle of talking about someone else, ask yourself this question: why am I even saying this? If there's a good reason, a pure motivation, then okay. But a lot of times there's not. Third, ask yourself the question: would we find Jesus saying this? Would Jesus criticize this individual? Then finally, ask yourself this: what am I most interested in? Am I saying what I'm saying because I'm legitimately concerned about this other person, or am I mostly concerned about me? Am I just glad that I've got the juice? Am I glad that I've got the little secrets to share? You stop and you do those four things. You think and pray. You consider your motivation. You ask, would Jesus say it? And you ask yourself what your motivation is. One of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to come up with the right answer in your mind, which is whether or not this should be something you should even be saying at all. Or if you're like me and very forgetful and absent-minded, by the time you've asked those four questions, you won't even remember what it was you were talking about. And then you can just go on with your day. But you've got to stop and think. don't think that you are immune from your tongue getting you in trouble, that your speech getting you in trouble. Don't think that you're immune from that, because nobody is. One other thing I want to talk about before we close for today. When we talk about our speech getting us in trouble, a lot of times, you know, we think about gossip and hurting other people's feelings and that sort of thing. But what about the actual words that you use? Do they matter? The words that you choose to use? Even when it's not an issue of gossip or slander or something, when you're just in everyday language, does it matter what words come out of your mouth? Well, the Bible tells us that the whole body is a temple. And last time I checked, I haven't had biology since my freshman year. Nope. My junior year of college, but last time I checked, the mouth is still part of the body. So when the Bible says the body is a temple, that includes your mouth, your voice box, your lungs, all the things that go into you talking. So the words that come out of your mouth do matter to God. To say they don't is to say that there's some part of you that he doesn't care about, and we know that he cares about your whole being. He made your whole being. So the words that you choose to use are important. Now, there is a difference between cursing and crudeness. A lot of words that are considered swear words in our culture aren't violations of the commandment, thou shalt not take the name of your Lord thy God in vain. Okay? The only way you can violate that commandment is by using God's name in vain. And we talked about that when I preached on the Ten Commandments. But there are a lot of swear words or crude words that culturally have had certain definitions attached to them that are negative, and to use that language reflects poorly on Jesus if you are claiming to be like him. Does that make sense? You may not be using God's name in vain, but you may be using a host of other words that reflect poorly on him. Or you may be in the habit of saying things that, even if they aren't considered swear words culturally, they really aren't what we would define as, when the Bible says, whatever is pure, whatever is good, whatever is right, think on these things. You could say, talk about these things, okay? They don't fit that bill. They're crude. They aren't pure. They're not pleasing to God. Does he really care about it? You bet he does. He cares about what comes out of your mouth. Why? It's not because God's standing up in heaven with a big hammer waiting for you to say the wrong little word so that he can, boom, you know, like on that whack-a-mole game, you know, where they pop their heads out and you're boom, boom, boom. That's not God. That's not what he's waiting to do. But he's called you to be Christian. To be Christian is to be like Christ. To be like Christ is to be pure. And if what's coming out of your mouth is not pure, then it's not Christian, which means it's not being like Christ. Follow? Yes? No? Maybe? Okay. And there are also words, now this is a gray area too, but there are also then a whole set of words that we have come to substitute for the words that we can't say. And I'm not here to give you, I'm not a big fan of lists. I'm not going to give you a list of words that you can't use. Okay? I'm not going to send you home with homework. Please do not use these words this week. Okay? I don't think such a list exists. But I'll say this to you. Okay? Jesus said that it is not just what you do that matters, it's what you think. And so if you say something that's acceptable, but the reason you're saying it is because what's going on in your mind is the same thing that would be going on in your mind if you said the other word, I don't see how you really fooled Jesus at all. Okay? He's not listening to your mouth anyway. He's looking at your heart. He's in your head. He knows what's going on up here before it ever comes out here. So going back to gossip, there's also a truth there, isn't it? Even if you refrain from gossiping, if you think all kinds of evil about people, you haven't really improved. So suffice it to say that what comes out of our mouth does matter, and it is up to you and God to get a grip on that. What do you do? First of all, pray for supernatural cleansing. You know, God can cleanse your heart. He can also cleanse your mouth. He can also cleanse your mind. There's nothing that God can't cleanse. Sometimes we just don't want to ask him to do it because, well, that would mean we'd have to change. So pray for supernatural cleansing. Another practical thing you can do, if you really struggle with what you say, find time to listen to and read things that are wholesome. Even if they aren't necessarily spiritual, as long as they are wholesome. Because you tend, like a computer, to let come out what has gone in. That was another song we sang as a kids. Input, output. Does anybody remember that song? I can't be dating myself. Okay? Input, output. You know, what goes in must come out. It's true. So if you're having trouble with it, make more of an effort to put in wholesome things into your mind. And now here's a third one you can do. Every time you say something that wasn't appropriate, apologize for it to whoever heard you. Pretty soon you'll get sick of apologizing and you'll change. Just be disciplined enough about it. Just some practical thought. What we say, whether it's gossiping or crudeness or using the Lord's name in vain, cursing, slandering, lying, whatever we say affects our testimony. You ever heard someone say to you about someone else, and I thought they were a Christian? It affects your testimony, whether you believe it or not. Well, it's sort of just, I just fit in with everyone else. Hello, you're a Christian. You're not supposed to fit in with everybody else. It affects your testimony. It affects your spiritual maturity, and it affects the very core of your Christianity. And so it's true. Be careful, little mouths, what you say. Be a tool for the Father and not for yourself. Let everything that you think, let everything that you do, including the words that come out of your mouth, bring glory and honor to Him. For in this way, you will please Him. And when you come to the end of your journey, you don't want to be left feeling like you didn't represent Jesus very well. Everything about us can be Christian and must be Christian. We're only human. God has much greater plans in store for us than just being human. He wants to make us like Him. Let's stand together for a closing word of prayer. Father, you have created every part of us. You know us inside and out. And we, Father, want to be like you. We want to be pure and holy. And so as we go from this place, we ask that you will make every part of us like you, including what we say. Father, we ask now that in order for that to happen, that your Spirit that was sent at Pentecost will fall fresh and new upon us. And in the grace of Christ and in your love, will guide us and make us like you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. Teens and parents, please remember I need to meet with you for a few minutes in the back.